Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. It's not going to be about free will, but yes, I'm going to play a free will video clip. Daniel Dennett, who I don't know if I've actually played his arguments before. I've basically just paraphrased them. So I haven't heard this yet, but he's going to go on for some 10 minutes. This is a place where they actually debated him and Spolowski. And I've sort of already explained my critique of way too many of the people who are emphatic free willers also include some sort of statement like, and therefore we can't blame assholes for being assholes. And I guess it depends on how you want to use the word blame. Should they be accountable for being assholes? Can we socially afford not to make them accountable for being assholes? It brings up all these other questions. I mean, do we need to deter people from being assholes? And I would argue that, yes, we need to do that desperately. If we don't desperately deter being an asshole, then humans' base function is asshole. Impulsive, self-serving, all of these very negative components exist inside of us. And if there isn't something deterring it, we will steal candy from babies. I mean, it's just, a lot of us, we will, we'll slide ourselves into date rape and then real rape. We'll slide ourselves into very bad behavior unless we are encouraged, let's say, or discouraged. We have to be encouraged to be otherwise or discouraged not to be otherwise. And it's just critically important. So obviously I think all their reasoning in defense of us recognizing that we are just fucking robots. Fucking robots. We're just fucking robots. I mean, that's all we do. Inside the mind of most of man, is not some complex social dynamic planning. It's just fucking, it's something crude and pathetic, frankly. And so, we're pathetic fucking robots or fucking pathetic robots. And so it'd be nice for people to tell the truth, recognize the dilemma, and then maybe, okay, when they really get, four plus four kind of smart, then they can, start drawing up some rational plans of what do you do about being a fucking pathetic robot. So anyway, something like that'll be the subject, yeah. So this Dennett guy is famous for his compatibilism theory of free will, where somehow it's we don't have free will, but it's okay for us to think so, or it's necessary for us to think so, or some kind of crap like we can't handle the truth. Okay, so we're at the trial, and the concession. Yes, of course I can't handle the truth. So yes, I have to tell myself some kind of fake story and pretend I'm some kind of fake thing that's doing some other fake kind of business, because somehow we can't handle being fucking pathetic robots. So that's sort of the theme I'm heading for here, is this, the thought of the week, if I had one, is that, oh, fuck, this is so simple, right? We're just calculators. We really are just, that's all logic is just trying to do 2 plus 2 and saying, gee, that always works. I have 2-ness over here and I have 2-ness over there. And every single time when I put them together, I get 4-ness. I mean, it's just adding up the simplest of things. And, that's all science is really. Its foundation is just really simple calculations. And social philosophy is likewise so damn simple. I mean, do unto others as you would like to have shoved up your ass. Come on, can you not figure that little bit out? That, if I don't want to have it happen to me, I have no business doing it to somebody else. Duh. And we're supposed to say, well, the pathetic asshole who couldn't figure that out, it's not his fault that he can't calculate 2 plus 2. Oh, he can't, huh? You know, it was, oh, well, then he's not functioning up to his pay grade. He needs to be fired or squished. Squish. It's fine. I mean, frankly, when you're too pathetically stupid, it's you might as well have rabies, or you might as well be, Cooties Jane or whatever. You might as well be carrying some friggin' horrible, awful disease. And we just have to do I'm sorry, but we just have to discontinue your model because your model can't calculate 2 plus 2. And, you know, there's no point in making calculators because all of these calculations don't need to be done. But it's even more of a no point when they can't calculate 2 plus 2. So when the calculator can't do 2 plus 2, decommission it, you know. Fuck it in the ass. Anyway. I don't feel sorry for it. Too pathetic. So anyway, leave us find the video. Oh, that wasn't hard. Wow, I did that all on my own. Amazing. That's pretty high performance considering I'm a human. Anyway, I probably should try to see if I can do this remote controlly. Yeah. Maybe I'll pause just for that purpose to see if this works. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to play with myself, so to speak. Yeah, I should be back. Okay, so the other thing I should say about this whole, conversation about anything called a free will is that it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, obviously we're talking about a will derived somehow outside of your personal exposure. So something that would be innate or, in your genetics or God-given, some prohibition or some capacity to do right, right? And that's all the free part would be useful for, is understanding the difference between right and wrong, and that there is some innate ability to do this function that doesn't require you to be exposed to it. So it's sort of like arguing, could Native Americans be expected to be Christians when, they were never exposed to the idea of it? They were 20,000 years of, out of time and hearing any kind of, even if they could understand the foreign language never spoke loud enough. There was no message in a bottle that showed up at the shore saying, Jesus is God or something. So they had there was no expectation that they could acquire this knowledge. And so you could argue that all they were is determined by their circumstances, and it's clearly not their fault that they don't believe in Jesus. So that's sort of what the argument's about. It'd be kind of silly to say, oh yeah, the Native Americans had free will and they could have willed themselves to believe in Jesus. And it would have been perfectly reasonable for them to do that, so we can kill them all because they don't believe in Jesus. Kind of silly. Right? Well, so it's the same kind of argument, as just any kind of notion of a free will is imposing some sort of standard as if there is some innate knowledge that you can just look at a tree or something and know, don't fuck your neighbor's wife. That somehow you could know, okay, that you're not supposed to do these bad will things without having to read the book of don't do stupid things. So that's the only context I think that this free will could mean anything, is that free will is supposed to be better will, and that somehow there is this expectation that we should have a better will, okay, just kind of innately, or because God gave it to us. somehow God wrote it in somewhere, and we're denying the non... it is kind of funny because it's sort of the opposite of a free will, right? A will that would be controlled by some external thing rather than our personal experience. That somehow it comes out or reveals itself as being something that isn't connected to our personal experience. So anyway, I'm sorry. I wish this subject all should be simple, but obviously when people say free will, what could that possibly mean except like random will? And obviously random will would be absolutely useless. So why would anybody argue they believe in random will? I mean, would anybody say that? I mean, if we did a survey, do you believe in random will? I don't think anybody's going to say they believe in that. All right, so that's how he introduces the subject to Daniel Dennett here, is by, survey says, before they did the video, which I don't know who they were surveying, but anyway, 59% believe in determinism and 41% were free will, I think, or vice versa, who cares, it's just... You're just like, they don't even, what is a free will? It's no such thing, free, not confined to, like, you know, again, you don't have to learn how to play the piano, you just can. You know, come on. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. All right, so leave us play the video.
First of all, I would like to issue a little disclaimer about your poll. You asked whether you believe in determinism or free will. I believe in both determinism and free will.
Okay, so they think that's funny. So that's just so cheating. Okay, so what's the point? So yes, his compatibilism theory basically means let's just talk shit. So apparently he has the free will to say something directly contradictory that turns his whole philosophy into mushy shit. All right. Because obviously the determined is a narrowing word and free is an expansive word. So right on the face, the two words aren't very compatible. So, you know, determined will and free will. Yeah, that sounds like exact opposites. So why don't we just forget about having language? Let's forget about talking with words and let's just make sounds at each other. You know. There. Did you get it? Yeah. I hate this planet.
And because I think that what Robert shows so eloquently is that he's been taken in by the philosophers who have inflated the idea of free will way beyond what it has to be. And he said,
Wow, that was pretty harsh. So at least that part's good. It's good, nice, you know, blah, blah, blah. So now he can, you know, he can come back with, Daniel Dennett, you're an ignorant cunt. Yeah, you're pretty fucking stupid, old man. Take some better vitamins because your brain don't work. Yeah. Taken in. Okay, so I mean, really, this is so fundamental to understanding the limitations of you as a human being is recognizing, oh yeah, I did grow up in privilege. Oh yeah, I did, you know, have these certain advantages. Oh yeah, I had this, and oh, I did this and did that. And so that's all part of understanding when you're going to interact with other people, you know, how you do that reasonably, is recognizing all of these little facts. And again, if you're going to do something called philosophy and then talk about human civilization and you're going to try to make some kind of constructive statement about what humans should understand and what kind of advice you should give them, you know, in terms of understanding the model that and trying to get it to match the territory, you know, actually get a model that works, and then put enough batteries in the model to make it run a little bit so you can see where you're heading, you know, and you're not going to do that with this mush.
If you can't point to a decision you make which is completely free of all earlier considerations and influences, then you can't show free will. But that's
we don't need to prove it. It's not a matter of sitting there and saying, well, let's interrogate somebody and see if he can play some tune on the piano and we can prove he could never had a lesson. and that there was no influence. Like, you never saw Barney the Dinosaur do it, or, you know, we never saw a Teletubby or the little rabbit did it. Somebody did it somewhere, and he's just mimicking what he saw, and we can prove that now he's not doing that. He magically knows about Jesus. So even if we could do that experiment, we come up with a Native American that's praying to Jesus, you would still have to say, well, maybe, okay, there is some kind of ability for human beings to add up their environment and draw this wacky conclusion, that there was an immaculate conception or something. But no, we'll probably find out that that'll be tied to the fact that, well, yeah, he was raping somebody else's daughter, and that's why they're going to call it an immaculate conception, because he doesn't want to be caught and, you know, appropriately treated for his inability to add two and two and figure out that I don't want my daughter raped, so I probably shouldn't be raping somebody else's.
That's a daft notion of free will. And
all right, so let's just understand. The daft notion is the fact that we are actually having a conversation about something called free will. Free from what? Free in what way? When the conversation should really be about better will. Is there some reason that we should expect people to have a certain minimum will? You know, that they should have a minimum capacity to know, I can't rape and murder. Is that something that we can have a fair imposition of the expectation that you meet this minimum standard, that your will, okay, doesn't cross certain lines in terms of action? That is, you can fantasize all you want about anything you want to, but as soon as the the member is touching the member, as soon as it's turned into an action, then, well, now you've crossed a very specific line, and we're not going to talk about who cares where you derive the will from. So that would almost be my argument. Who cares whether we should have the expectation or not? The fact is, we still have to punish the negative behavior. So it just doesn't matter in that sense. But it matters. It really is important to get this right. We are robots. Our destiny is dictated by all these little crappy, shitty things that happen to us. We go through life and actual scars and lines and, we're actually bent and perverted and distorted by our life experience. And that's what makes our will, is what we've been exposed to. And again, how hard do you have to be exposed to it, even in just, somebody doesn't even have to say it to you, like a Jesus story. You don't need a Jesus story to figure out that if you have a best friend when you're a kid and you start recognizing that, gee, I care what happens to him. And then you can figure out why you care. And then you can figure out that, yeah, it doesn't really make a difference whether I have a broken leg or he has a broken leg. It doesn't matter, it's all going to be the same kind of tragedy. And that we sort of have to understand that going through life, there's no winning if I make somebody else lose.
Strange tension in Robert's 10 minutes there. What's he doing? Why is he talking to me? Does he think he convinced me? He can convince me or convince me?
Of course he thinks so. Of course he's basically just telling you, look, this is the story of our construction. We are calculators, and we're going to calculate based on how we're programmed, based on what kind of math we're going to be taught. And if all we learn is that, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. And we learn that, well, I have a huge advantage. If I hit you before you even have a chance to hit me, I'm going to win. Okay, if I break your arms, I'm not going to get hit. And you start thinking just in terms of how it affects me. All right, and nothing else in your environment teaches you any lesson that there's any other responsibility than to your welfare. And somebody teaches you some Nietzsche or something that you're a fool if you worry about the rest of the world, or being fair or kind, you are even heroic. That would be the most humiliating thing to be, is a hero. Yeah, if you don't have any of these lesson plans about the map, you know, and the map is basically saying that's the territory. The territory really is this cruel. That frankly, it's not about how happy you are. It's about how happy the net environment of sentient feeling creatures is. That's the temperature you have to take. That's the thing that's being, that's the value container. And measuring your temperature doesn't really have anything to do with the temperature of the thing that's the real value container. And so you can't take from the container to increase your temperature and believe you've accomplished something. And all those beliefs are going to be based on how many of, you know, how much thinking you did, how much talking you did, how much interacting with the questions you did. If you've never been exposed to these questions that create these kind of dilemmas between your personal, subjective, individual gain versus the idea of, oh, you mean I'm responsible to the rest of my family, or I'm responsible to the rest of my community, or I'm responsible to the rest of the world, or I'm responsible to the rest of the sentient animals on Earth, then you're going to be missing the real math you're supposed to be doing.
All right. Anybody? I think I can convince people, and I think he thinks he can convince people. And that's because we are both receptive to reasons.
No, you think so. You know, you think so because that's how it does work. You are convinced. The fact is your life experiences teaches you that somebody says something now and then, and it piques your interest, and you recognize in yourself some duplicity or hypocrisy. Or, oh, I didn't think about that. You could talk about climate change, right? You could talk about CO2, but then you have to start talking about methane. And then you have to start talking about reverse triggers. You know, like once the certain amount of methane gets into the environment, then some of the thing happens and the ocean rises and things become more humid and that lowers temperature. And then this happens and, you know, you have a whole bunch of interactions. But again, most of these conversations are about the crudest of human ethics. So they don't have all those contingencies. But it's clear that we understand reasoning works. I spell out something, you know, a model. I explain how it works. You explain your model of how to make an engine, for example. And, you know, your engine has, you know, a big hole in the cylinder and all the gas flies out. And I could just point out the obvious. You can't make an engine that way. You know, that giant hole is going to mean it ain't going to work. You know, and I can explain why you need pressure to create heat so you can create the explosion that, you know, that allows the energy to move in one direction and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So it's, you know, so clearly all this, my video, your video, all conversation by anybody who has something to say is an effort to say, look, I have a model here. Your diagram makes perfectly good sense to me in terms of understanding. I think this will run. It will make, it will manufacture a better world if you follow these guidelines. And, you know, the other people are proposing your model. Now, the problem with Daniel Dennett is he's placating essentially religious laziness and a whole bunch of basically saying it's okay not to be exact. It's okay to use language in this fudgy duality, dualistically way where, you know, the same word can mean two opposite things. That all this fudging is okay because somehow it makes people feel a little tiny bit better in the short run. And Spolasky's argument might be is that, well, in the long run, it'll get you into big trouble. And my argument will be, in the long run, you'll make you evil. Not just stupid, because you'll just be responsible for a lot of wasted torture because you didn't pay enough attention to take what was important seriously. And what's important is you're a fucking pointlessly stupid robot. Ugh.
Now, I agree with everything he says about the hormonal and developmental and epistatic
So that's another lie, okay? You know, because obviously if you believe all that, then you recognize, okay, yes, there's no room for any element that innately makes a person a good person. There's no innate mechanisms that do any of that kind of stuff, and that we are, frankly, from birth, quite selfish, and we are civilized into decent animals. You know, it's sort of like domestication. It's like a tiger learning how to live with a human being, and his habits become different, right? He doesn't pull his claws as quick. He doesn't do all these things that, you know, because he learns, okay, to be more civilized. Now, he doesn't know that's what he's learning, but that's what he learns. And humans are doing the same thing. Their nature is kind of horrid in terms of it just being a worm, okay, with a digestive tract, and it's just saying, gimme, 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 feed me, fuck me, feed me, fuck me, you know, and that's it. And it learns how to be this much more elaborate organism that's attempting to sing and dance in a lot more elaborate, you know, put on a much more elaborate play than eat poo. I mean, you know, but that's what we are naturally, is eat poo. You eat, then poo, or eat poo and poo, you know, whatever.
Elements that impinge on who one is at the time. That's the raw material each of us starts with, and we don't start in the same place. As he says in his book, Life Isn't Fair. And that's true. There are tremendous differences in style, in talent, in accomplishment, in education, and
the fairness part gets into, you know, frankly, winning isn't necessarily winning. So the very idea of being a winner doesn't mean it's fair, because in some ways that means you're going to be greater. You have these greater burdens. You know, that you have to sacrifice an awful lot to be that winner. So you could argue, you can kind of compare it to being a doctor or something, that you're going to have to go through an awful lot of sacrifice of your fun time to be able to learn Latin and, you know, learn all the bullshit and all the details you have to learn. So being a winner isn't for free, you could argue clearly. And some of it isn't luck. You know, some of it is just part of recognizing that's the price you have to pay to be a person of greater robotic talents or use. To have use, okay, requires you to acquire skill. And acquiring skill usually doesn't involve eating potato chips and watching Barney the Dinosaur. So you're probably, you know, you're not gonna learn much playing with yourself, so to speak. You're going to have to play with concepts and ideas and statistics and, you know, knowledge gained about how to level a four-legged table. Stuff like that there.
Upbringing and nutrition, that's true. The whole point of...
So all of that, I would argue, in counter to what he's saying, I'm saying that can provide huge advantage to making a better thinking machine, is one that is distracted by physical disability. So there's a ton of cases by where people through disability became, you know, great scientists or great something else, because the very fact was they weren't distracted by playing football, you know, or going out golfing. Or, you know, the other, you know, they weren't compelled, you know, to, their impulse wasn't distractible from the more useful, okay, preparation, the more useful programming. And so something that would be considered a liability, their disability, was a huge asset in terms of making them a better, more useful, more valuable human being. I have to concede personally, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that I ended up with a troubled psychology, I might not have ended up being much of a philosopher, because I was interested in just running, and I liked the physical world, and I liked nature, and I might have just been I might have just got lost in that indulgence of my personal enjoyment. I liked watching cartoons. I could have gotten lost in nonsense if it wasn't for the fact that I was distracted by my limitations and my inability I couldn't drive that car, so I couldn't have that car wreck.
The free will is that this is a socially evolved system which minimizes those, which takes steps to make the world safer for everybody. I counted on...
So again, that was just sort of gibberish. So yes, both people are arguing for a model that gets you to a better civilization. And one person's arguing that ignorance is bliss. Don't take words too seriously. It doesn't do our egos any good to think of ourselves as fucking pathetic robots. And some sort of nonsense like that. And the other's arguing that, well, to gain any kind of empathy or character in terms of understanding your place in the world, you have to be humbled, by this fact that you didn't make you. You didn't invent you, that actually the things you might even hate in the world made you. I mean, assholes made you. You saw somebody being an asshole, a Republican. I could say Democrat now, You saw somebody being an asshole, and you said, I don't want to be an asshole. I don't want to look anything like that fucker. So that's part of the explanation for the evolution is not just that you know that your model is right, but you know that model is wrong.
Robert being here today.
Unfortunate. This commercial. I see this commercial so many times. And the guy gets like 2,000 views a video. I mean, and he's had commercials on YouTube for 2 years, and I just can't imagine. I mean, he was a NASA scientist, but I guess he just has lots of money, but it doesn't work, which is the funny part. And he keeps doing it, even though it don't work. Pause. Should be back. Today, I'm sure he counted on me being here. Okay. I just wanted to say, the thought that just recurs to me in terms of saying something useful is this recognition that, I'm more capable of making you think than you can make you think. Your brain is in patterns, and they're redundant, and they just get into stuck modes of thinking. And without the interjection of some other person, like you drawing a picture, and you need this other person, you just keep drawing the same thing over and over again, and you need some other person to throw shit at your painting, your drawing, and fuck it up so you have to fix it. They throw something, they interject, and then you have to place that inside of your drawing. And so you either find a way to erase it, or you find a way to incorporate it and make it fit. So they tell you the atomic weight of the gold atom. And you say, okay, that's not garbage, but it's not really important, so I'll make that a hair. Okay, so that'll be a piece of my reality. I know it now, but it's not really structurally important. But other things will be right in the face. They'll be right on its nose or right on its eyeball. And you're going to have to deal with that fact that isn't compatible with your drawing. And you're going to have to make your drawing fit that thing. And yes, you can cheat and just erase it and pretend you didn't hear it, like the religious people do to the theory of evolution. They just pretend they don't know the facts. They pretend that the geology is made up. They pretend that the stupid book was written by God when it obviously wasn't written by God. It was written by silly humans with all kinds of motivations. So, they're living a huge, giant fucking lie. And what they do, they erase the facts, so they can maintain their circle. I want to draw a circle. with a smiley face and two little eyes. I want to draw a circle with a smiley face. They don't have any higher ambition. They're not trying to model reality. They're fucking retarded. And that's a big problem. Retarded, pathetic robots. I do have the unfortunate feeling as though I have made a mistake and didn't hit the right buttons. So anyway, I might have missed some of this, which is really unfortunate. So I did end with the statement that these people are smart enough to have a smarter conversation about our evolution and the different context between our physical capacity, what kind of animal we are by nature, and what kind of animal we are after going to, you know, after watching television and going to school, and that those are different animals. I really shouldn't have to say that. I mean, I really shouldn't have to explain that our intellectual evolution is a lot different than our biological evolution, and especially considering the guidepost aspects, the influence on constructive improvement of behavior, because nature isn't about improved or good behavior. It's about just winning by a very narrow definition.
We can't foresee, but we can. Now, there's a quote that I love from the late, great novelist and critic.
Okay, so I'll just pause there. So he's making this comparison that we can do better than a tree. And so I like the idea of recognizing that we should be able to perform to a minimum standard. But that really doesn't have anything to do with whether or not we're free or not, or whether there's some innate capacity to know better. It just has to do with, can we hold us as machines to a minimum standard? And yes, the argument would be, of course, we should be able to hold ourselves to these minimum standards. If the calculator can't calculate 2 + 2, then yes, it needs to be disconnected from the matrix. It needs to be a non-influence as a minimum. And frankly, as a utilitarian thing, it ought to just be acknowledged that we're just better off making and, spend the extra 25 cents to plug in the one that does work and just unplug the one that doesn't. There's lots of human lives that will be lost recklessly and sloppily. We might as well invest in them than invest anything in trying to fix the broken toasters. I mean, the calculators that can't add 2 + 2, we shouldn't waste resources trying to teach them when they clearly, if they didn't get it the first time, it's just too obvious a function. They have to be really broken. And there's no point in wasting a bunch of money on broken humans. A bunch of resources. A bunch of death, frankly. It's no point in watching a bunch of good people die so you can try to fix junk that ain't going to be fixable.
Tom Wolf, who said the conclusion people out beyond the laboratory walls are drawing is the fix is in, we're all hardwired, that, and don't blame me, I'm wired wrong. Well, if you're wired wrong, I won't blame you, but what about being...
Right, so, but that's the whole point. If they are dysfunctional, if they can't add 2 + 2, well, they are factually wired wrong. They're factually broken. And that's not the subject. The subject is, if we are going to create a civilization and we're going to create reward and punishment, what should we punish and what should we reward? Well, it's not about punishing necessarily for the sake of revenge. We're punishing to prevent. We're punishing to use it as deterrence. So our only obligation is to be rational and say, look, if we have to use the whip because the carrots just don't work, if we have to use it, well, yeah, it'd be really stupid to punish the ones who did the right thing. So punishing the innocent would be stupid. Punishing the ones that are guilty of being broken would make more sense. I mean, it's the only way reward and punishment can actually work. So you sort of, you have to do it, or there's no point in having reward and punishment. So if you can't reward and punishment based on the outcome, what it's going to produce as a result, then there's no point in having any. And obviously, I don't think anybody who defends civilization could argue we don't need the stop signs. Because, yeah, we do. Because there are people who are really dumb and they need to see the sign.
Wired right. Not perfectly, but well enough to be held responsible and to hold yourself responsible. I assume Robert has a drop.
I mean, no point in saying hold yourself responsible, because obviously they're doing some Nietzsche thing. They're thinking of themselves as being the important one. Obviously, every psychotic who was a mass murderer, they'll all tell you the stories about how they kind of thought of themselves as gods. And, you know, any feeling they had was a million times bigger and better for the universe than any feeling anything else had. Blah, blah, blah. We could go on about even just the regular psychotic humans who pretend the animals don't feel anything and that it's okay that I torture and eat them and it doesn't mean anything. Well, what the hell is that? What the hell is that psychology? It's the same exact psychology of just creating a fake reality, a fake narrative, and pretending that they can get away with all this crap because they've erased all the facts. They've erased a whole bunch of facts, and therefore they can miscalculate and say 2 + 2 = 7. So that's all they've done, is they've broken the basic formulas to break the calculator because it was to their self-interest, and we can understand exactly why they did it, all right? Doesn't even matter knowing why. The fact is, though, is the wiring is broken. And the fact is, in favor of Daniel Dennett, that, well, the fact is there's no point in us investing in broken calculators, and if we're going to feed something on this earth, we're going to feed the ones that get the right answer, and we ought to starve the ones that don't. And the fact is there's only so much food, and there's only so much resource, and there's only so much electricity. We shouldn't be putting electricity in dumb phones. So there should be a standard. The phone has to be have a minimum amount of smartness, so we don't bother pumping electricity into it.
Driver's license. He has self-control enough. I'm not scared if he's out on the highway, because he's basically sane and he has self-control. There are other people who shouldn't be on the highway. Now, one of the points...
Again, yeah, dottery old men, you know, who you never know when they're going to explode. You can make lots of arguments about, and then you could go statistically, you could do this horrible statistical thing, and, you know, you could, and then you could, you know... recognize the facts basically indicate that you can save more lives by, it'd be by some silly thing that, you know, just taking away a woman's cell phone, you know, some kind of thing, because there's some connection, because they're on the phones more often, on the car, and blah, 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 some little thing, and you save more lives that way than by the ones you think are the menaces. You can't get too distracted by how many people the psycho killers kill versus how many people are killed because you give gun licenses to drunks, you know, or some other stupid thing you do, okay, that creates a lot more mayhem. So I could even make that argument about drugs. I mean, all this attention to heroin and cocaine and methamphetamines and blah, blah, blah. And then when you add up how many lives have been ruined by fucking alcohol, the legal drug, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to even pretend that you're addressing the real problem, which is this glaring elephant in the frickin' China shop, and you're sitting there worried about flies. Oh, there's a horse fly over there, and there's a grasshopper over there. The heroin addicts are a tiny blight on civilization, compared to the alkies. I've known some alkies, okay? They'll drive into your fucking house. That's how much they don't give a damn.
That he makes a great deal of it in his book, and it's an important one, is that we have to draw the lines over. Some people just miss the boat for having the kind of skill, the kind of self-control that entitles them to treat themselves as responsible agents. to make contracts, to make promises, to take care of yourself, to go free in the world.
This whole take care of yourself shouldn't even be thrown in there. I mean, your obligation is not to be a menace, is not to leave to have the blood footprint. You have to be minimally efficient in your function. And when you're not meeting that standard and you're doing it belligerently, society has every obligation to make it clear you're not going to have a good time. You're not going to get rewarded for that kind of misfunction, because frankly, the misfunction is created not by systemic dysfunction. It's created because jackasses like you, Daniel, will fuck language. Okay, you'll fuck with words and pretend that you can erase reality. And so you're playing a game and saying, I'm going to call this free will thing some other thing than what its explicit definition is, which is anti-deterministic. And you're going to pretend it's the same thing as determinism. It's not. So you're playing the game. You're erasing the truth, okay, and writing in your own bullshit that's convenient for you, or what you think people need, or some other bullshit. But it isn't reality. It isn't true. It isn't honest. And it's exactly the same bullshit, okay, that the evil fucker who rapes the kids, you know, the person's daughter, it's just as evil as the rationalizations he used to make excuses for doing something. Yes, of course he knew it was evil. He just didn't care because he had erased the idea that his obligation is to the worlds of sentient organism, and his obligation was only him. And again, these meat eaters, you know, I can't say for sure what he is. These people abusing these animals are doing it with the same kind of evil eraser. They're just erasing the reality and writing in their own. And that's the real crime. And that can be discouraged by making it clear that we're on to you, okay? And that if you do one of these things, okay, you beat your wife to death or some other thing, don't come in with his silly excuses for why it was okay or why you couldn't help yourself. Fuck you. We know better.
We're learning every day, and Robert has a lot to say about this, ways in which people have diminished self-control, diminished capacity. And we have to recognize...
Well, he's going to jump on that term, because it's not about diminished. It's about the fact that it doesn't exist. There is no self-control. There's just this idea, okay, of ideas and what idea you cherish and which ones you don't. And it really is just adding 2 + 2. So we know that adding 2 + 2 is so simple that something that can add 6 + 6 can't make the excuse it didn't know how to add 2 + 2. So we know that's an excuse. So there's no point in having some argument about self-control, because the control was the meme. The control was some idea that I can get away with it. I mean, that's most of the crime, is I can get away with it. That's it, okay? Without that idea in their head that even if I get caught, I'm a celebrity, I don't have to really pay for my crimes. That's the bullshit. That's the reasoning that allows the crime to happen, is the fact that there is no emphatic statement guaranteeing an outcome and preventing the person from doing it, because they know what the future is going to be. We've made that future undependable when it's so easy for us to make it very dependable.
Beyond some point, and it's going to have to be arbitrary, like driver's license age, we have to say, I'm sorry, you're not responsible. You have lost your free will. It has nothing to do with determinism.
Oh, please. It's just so simple. You lost your free will. What the hell is that statement? I know he can't hear me, so he doesn't understand that I made all these arguments, and you really can't say that to me now. But yes, I mean, it's just too ridiculous a statement. Somebody has lost their free will. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. They lost the image of the... It's like saying, you lost the image of the slaughterhouse. You lost the image where, you know, you saw that video where the pig's hanging upside down. They slit its neck and it bleeds out and bleeds to death, squealing. You lost that image somewhere. You forgot where it was. Oh, come on. No, you didn't. So, again, just bullshit. You took your eraser out and you took your cover-up pencil and you did whatever you could to make that truth into some other truth. You drew a smiley face on it and pretended it wasn't what it actually is. That's what you did. And those are the rationalizations that create bad behavior. Because we're by nature not good. And we're going to try to erase the truth because the truth says you're not entitled to almost anything. Okay? Because frankly, there's so much need in the world and so much that can be improved at a fraction of the cost of what it'll take to keep you running. I mean, the fact is we're high maintenance. We're feeding off the grid, you know, sucking up a lot of electricity to keep our phones running, so to speak. And the fact is the real world, a bunch of phones can be rescued for tiny bits of current. They're starving for just the tiniest bit of electricity. So it's like thousands of them could be fed with the energy one of us is consuming. The resources, the give a damn, the attention.
It has everything to do with control. I'm getting old.
But there's no point in saying the word. It has everything to do with control. Well, what controls? And the simple argument is, well, laws do a lot of that. Okay, signage, memes, commercials, lots of things control. And so if we want certain outcomes to be the programmed consequence, well, we have to do the programming. You can't just say he's going to believe. I don't have to do any work. He's just going to find Jesus, you know, so to speak, if this was a religious argument. No, he's not going to just find Jesus. You're going to have to make intelligence yummy to eat. You're going to have to try to do everything you can to encourage a human being to involve themselves in these dilemmas and these conversations, to sit there and deal with whatever, the stupid trolley car question or some other these dilemmas that you have in life, and pose the argument that you need to work on this. You need to find reasoning and thoughts and ideas that you can end up using to defend your existence, because frankly, you should put yourself on trial. You should have the mock trial, okay, and be the judge, be the prosecutor, be the defense lawyer, be all of the roles, and just recognize that you can see your own corruption. You can find where you cheated and where you shortcutted and all of that crap. You can look at your Dorian Gray drawing and you can see where you have erased and where you have scribbled over and where you have tried to turn it into something else, like a third ear. You know, you've taken the cancer tumor and I just make that into a third ear. You know, you've cheated reality.
I may lose my marbles one of these days, and then I'll lose my self-control. I'll lose my free will. Free will is an achievement.
Oh, shit. I keep saying it. Oh, I didn't think it was going to do with this. Like, it is almost a religion, the free will. I'll lose my free will. I mean, it's just idiotic. So just say what you're going to lose. You're going to lose your intelligence. You're going to lose your functionality. You're not going to be able to add 2 and 2 anymore. You know, or 4 plus 4, 8 plus 8. Yes, you'll lose all these higher functions. Maybe you'll always have 2 plus 2. But you will be shitting your pants and so.
It's a skill. It's not a metaphysical feature.
Right, so why call it free will then? Because you're just making it sound like a metaphysical feature. So why call it that? If you're just saying free will is a skill level, that all it is being intelligent, being knowledgeable, being efficiently programmed, being capable of processing inputs and producing outputs in an efficient and sensible and logical manner, well, then call it that. Call it being smart or being intelligent or being reasonable, or, you know, being economical, being efficient. Call it efficiency. Okay, don't call it free will.
So when you understand that free will is something that has been described in some detail and with lots of improvements over the centuries by...
Described, it's a concept, and it is by its own definition, by the combination of the words, nonsense. It's not about free will. It's about improved will. It's about smart will. It's about good will. None of this conversation is about anything called a free will. It's about how do you become someone with a good will that acts, okay, a will that is well constructed to produce good outcomes for the, in the most pure sense of, for the maximum value product. You're getting the most good for the least bad. It's the most efficient conclusion, will. You've acquired a very efficient capacity to discern the most productive will.
Civilizations. And we've made tremendous progress. One of the things I really...
Doing what? at faking and phony. At pretending these aren't real problems. You got all these unsustainable things, peak oil, peak this, peak that, global warming, all kinds of disasters. You got no finance. All the financing is gone. The FDIC insurance is no way could ever work. You've spent all the money. You've borrowed the future's money. You've done all these frickin' crimes against the future. Any capacity for its boats to float. You've pre-drilled so many holes in their goddamn boat that they're inevitably going to be stuck having to, spend all of their time bailing and plugging to fix what you've broken, not what you've created.
Admire about Robert's book is he goes back and gives lots of detail about the horrific punishments that used to pass muster, that used to be considered honor. None of us want.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, none of us want to go there. But the simple truth is that the economy you gain by those gross, torturous punishments, the economy you gain, the power it gives you is intense. So let's just understand that. That's how you could have all these cultures where the religion is so dominant and everybody is like everybody else is because you've created these draconian punishments for daring to be a little bit different. I mean, even a little bit different. Don't put any pointed hats on, and they'll be throwing you in the lake to see if you float. But yes, the draconian punishments do have a certain practical efficiency. And if it wasn't for the terrible motives of the people who have established the stop signs, they put the stop signs in all the wrong places. So all the memes and all the laws were retarded. But I mean, good laws that where you're going to protect children from being raped or something, draconian punishment might be in fact the only rational thing to do. To minimize the harm. It will in fact save more suffering. It'll prevent more torture. So maybe it's the rational thing to do. I'm not advocating because frankly, I don't think any of us need to exist. So it's not my problem. But I'm just saying if you're going to live in a world where you're going to create this vulnerability, you have an obligation to protect. You have an obligation to prevent these harms from happening. And your obligation is to do it efficiently, not inefficiently.
I don't live in that world. That's terrible. Look, we've made improvement. We've gotten better. We've evolved. We've arrived at a point where...
Yeah, we arrived at a point where we waste insane resources on defective, shitty calculators, and we don't even have any hope of fixing them. And that's really stupid, frankly. The repair bills are, you know, we're spending thousands of dollars to replace, you know, to fix $10 toasters. And the logic is so stupid, and it's such a pathetic outcome that it produces, and it just degrades the entire civilization and allows all the other toasters to perform less well. All the toasters are basically saying, hey, I get treated pretty good. You know, I get three meals in a cot if I will stop functioning. You know, and I just won't make toast anymore because I have to do work to make toast and I don't really want to bother. So I'll become one of them, and all of a sudden now I'm entitled, and I don't have to do anything. I don't even have to toast bread. You know, come on. That's not civilization.
We don't draw on poorer people. We don't, and we don't need the horrific blame of guilt in the eyes of God.
Okay, so both of these kooks, you know, are finding excuses to say that somehow high-minded philosophy means you're going to pretend reward and punishment doesn't work, when it's just idiotic. And that you're going to also pretend that manufacturing enough carrots to encourage people to do the right thing is somehow practical, more practical than sometimes just pulling out the whip and saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And that you'll actually do civilization a lot more good, you know, with those tiny stings against our dignity, than you're going to do trying to bake be good cookies. Because the be good cookies just are too hard to bake.
That's a barbarism that we can exclude.
That's, one more minute.
Yeah, one more minute, yes. Now, I find myself in an odd position of saying to a biologist that he should take evolution more seriously.
Ooh, boy, that really does. Ooh, yeah. I would be tempted to come back with some pretty deep insults after some fucker did that to me. You know, just because this guy has spent so much time acquiring his education in terms of understanding evolution and the behavior of our closest relatives and all of that. I mean, he's been immersed in those subjects, and for this turd, who's glanced at the book, you know, phew, boy, yeah, that would be a trigger. So, but maybe Spokowski guy is comfortable enough, he'll just float past that little dig and just you know, but we'll have to wait till next time to see that. Yeah, so maybe I'll watch the rest of it and see if see where the debate evolved into, okay, when they had to actually account for their statements. Well, at least Dennett having to account for his, which I think were more insulting. Yeah, but we'll finish this. I'll just take a little pause. Whoa, yeah, so many things come to mind, you know. So I was just thinking about the whole idea of, like, you know, so many criminals only commit the crime because they think they're smarter than the system and they'll get away with it. And so it doesn't matter what punishment you have because they think they're going to evade the punishment, so it's kind of a moot threat. And the irony is the reason why they're able to think they can get away with it is because there's a whole bunch of people who are scared to death of accountability. You know, they're afraid of electronic money, and they're afraid of, you know, serial numbers. They're afraid of the Social Security system. They're afraid of accountability. And, you know, and they're using the excuse, right? I'd say the reason why they're afraid is because they like the cheating. They like to do a bit of cheating. And they don't want a system that they can't cheat, okay, that they can't use their scheming skills to take advantage of. They want a system they can take advantage of. They don't want a system they can't take advantage of. But that's my own opinion, that there are no true defenders of our freedom from the government's eyes and all this, you know, all this paranoia that they're all out to get them, which is just horseshit. You know, they're conspiracy theories. But yeah, they're, you know, there's such a you know, they're so ineffective at creating the very mechanisms that would empower them to create something like citizenship and the right to vote and all these things that would be based on merit and having all of us be measured based on our life and what we have done, and it would all be a record, and the videotape machines are on, and you really can't, you know, you really have no, you should first have no reason to be hiding, okay, and you should have nothing to hide. And these are obviously, there's a huge number of people that don't want to live in that world. You know, and I'm saying, no, that's the world I want to live in. I want to live in a world where we're dead accountable. And I wish I was accountable from day one, because I would have been a better person. If I knew I was going to get caught, I would have been a better person. Just no doubt about it. Okay, if I didn't, if I wasn't able to do any cheating and maneuvering and backstabbing and, you know, playing people against each other, doing, you know, all of that stuff was a record, okay, that could be reviewed. Yeah, I mean, I have this sense that it would be so much better a world if we couldn't keep secrets, you know, and that we had to live with who we are and just be honest about who we are instead of being a persona, you know, one of these, like the psycho killers, somebody who's walking down the street like every other person, pretending, you know, that they're not the psycho killer. Yeah. All right. Anyway. Button I have to press is, I think I have to press this. And we'll finish this part up.
That Lucian, as the title of my book, Freedom Evolves, makes clear, shows that there was no free will at all billions of years ago. And
so, I mean, just a silly. So he's calling free will smart will, except he's not calling it smart will. So yeah, nothing had a smart will. Nothing had the capacity to understand that the other things it was eating were sentient beings, and that had, didn't have capacity to do any of this ethical conversation. It couldn't understand the dilemma of being a DNA molecule squirming through this humus of other living things and taking and recognizing that you really do have this blood footprint thing and that you somehow have to leave the place better than when you got it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's calling that free will. So understanding that life is more complicated than yum-yum. Yo, he's calling that free will.
Free will has been growing and growing and growing as we become ever more capable of controlling ourselves and controlling each other and thinking about how to control ourselves and improving our methods of self-control.
And none of that is free. Again, the Wright brothers had to do all of this crap to get the plane off the ground. We had to learn it. None of it was freely acquired information. So none of this ethical evolution is free. None of it just happens. It happens. You have to bake this cake. You have to mix the ingredients. You have to do the science. You have to do the experiments. You have to do the stuff that will get you to the next step. You have to spend 20 years making the blue LED. You have to try doing all kinds of things to make it happen. You have to force the progress. You can't just sit there and wait for it to freely fall on you. So again, it's determined by the amount of resources you invest in it. I mean, if we invested more money, maybe another $10,000, who knows how much it would take, right? You know, a cure for malaria, let's say. We might be $1 million away, just one more $1 million, and we'd get it. You know, who knows? Or it could be $1 zillion away, and you could waste zillions of dollars pursuing it. That's the world we exist in. We don't exist in some world where it just freely falls on us. We have to make these decisions. We have to decide, well, should we, you know, give people mosquito netting, or shall we build a laboratory and do experiments on mosquitoes? Which one should we do? Which one should we invest in? The people suffering now or the people who will suffer tomorrow? These are all the decisions we have to make, and they're fundamentally just that. They're just calculations. And you make good calculations or you make bad calculations. And some of them we don't have enough information to know the difference. And that's just sad.
And there's a long way to go. And he himself has spoken about the desire to educate people and get them to see, well, he wants to say that they don't have free will. I say, they don't have the kind of free will that some philosophers say you should have, but that's not a variety of free will that anyone should care about. It's not
a variety of free will that anybody should care about. So again, it's just such a... The argument is that it's not free. That would be the first statement, is that if you want to make better humans, you have to try to make them better, and you have to have a plan to make them better, and you have to have the right formula to make them better. This is a recipe, and you're the chef. We are the chefs. And do you have to go to school? Do you have to learn how to be a chef? Is there certain rules to being a good chef? I mean, you certainly got to at least wash your hands. Come on. So we're making a model of civilization and a road to civilization. And I guess the real argument is, should we have our eraser handy to just keep faking the truth? Is that going to get us there? Is that going to get us the right answer, the eraser? We'll just pretend the truth isn't the truth.
It's not worth having. I have never seen anybody explain why it would be desirable to have an undetermined will. We want our will to be determined by the fact.
Exactly. So it's the same thing as making the argument that you can't have a free, smart will. So it's not going to be free. It's not going to be something innate. It's going to be have something you're going to have to work for. You're going to have to pay a price for it. It's not going to be anything like free.
And by our values, that's what self-control is. One thing that Robert says that I would actually invite him to back off on, he says at one point, it's logically indefensible, ludicrous, meaningless to think that something good can happen to a machine.
I mean, this is really retarded. So again, the whole idea, the words good and bad are invented to describe a human condition of good and bad. That is something where it is hurt or it's enhanced. It's saved, it's sinking in quicksand, it's rising in the quicksand. That's what the words mean. The words are directly related to the fact that there's an outcome that's better and an outcome that's worse, and it's always connected to the organism being sentient and feeling better or feeling worse, having a better experience or a less better or a worse experience. The very thing he talked about, the torture of the past, evading that. So he, again, we're going to break the words good and bad and pretend that a robot or a real machine without a brain, a sentient brain, can somehow have an experience when it can't. I mean, it's just so ridiculous that we should even enter a conversation about the welfare of organisms or machines or material entities that have no capacity to be harmed.
I'm a machine. I'm an evolved machine, made of machines, made of machines, made of machines. There's nothing magic about me.
It's not about it being magic. There is a certain qualitative difference. You have 100 billion neurons in your fucking brain. You are manifesting this capacity to feel good and bad. It's a completely different than what your finger is doing or what the frickin' bacteria on your finger is doing. The bacteria on your finger is not doing that. It doesn't have those functions, and it would be just ridiculous to sit there and say it's part of the value equation. It's clearly not part of the value equation.
good things can happen to me and bad things can happen to me. That's how good of a machine I am. It seems to me that Robert has a secret yearning for a sort of magical power, which he realizes he can't.
It's ridiculous. It's not. He's not saying it's magical. He's saying it's the completely constructed by this fact that you have to have a fucking 100 billion neurons, and if you don't have them, you're not going to be able to do what he can do. This machine is different. I mean, it's just ridiculous not to acknowledge this insane difference in qualitative function. I mean, it's just ridiculous to say any machine, you know, a pendulum swinging back and forth, has a welfare state, and how does it feel, and what is it thinking? It would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you can have it.
All right. So that was so bad. So I can't see Spolkowski not fucking, you know, goddamn saying, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm saying we have this obligation that we can recognize by our own personal experience. It gives us perfect evidence of the condition of feel good, feel bad. And we can understand that it exists in all these other feeling creatures, and that clearly that's the ball field. That's where all the value is, in the things feeling. And I can't contrive any other important entity. There's no other important entity somewhere. There's not a sign somewhere. There's not a stick somewhere. There's not a tree somewhere. There's not a blade of grass somewhere. There's nothing nowhere. There's no moon. There's no asteroid. There's no freaking Saturn. There's nothing that could possibly enter into this model of value as being relevant. It can only have use to something that feels. Something that feels has to substantially implicate the outcome of a feeling thing, or it can't be relevant to the conversation. It just breaks all conversation when people do this tangential drifting into absolute mush. And to say we are just a machine is stupid. We are a robot. We are a mechanism. But clearly we're a mechanism with really bizarre functions. And bizarre in the sense of extremely... non-existent, absent, okay, extremely absent from other machines, so anyway, all right, so that was enough of a video, I think, so sorry if there's some pieces missing, but, you know, shit happens, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. I'll probably say it again somewhere. So if I said something, I'll say it again. Probably again in some other video. So it'll probably get covered. But anyway, so we'll call that a video. And I will say this has been a donotgod.com video presentation. And yeah, it's a very nice shirt, frankly. I like it. Yeah, suits me. Anyway, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's enough.